Hello and welcome to another week in the world of Angel Insights brought to you by Syndicate Room. And today we have a very unique and special show for you, both in terms of people and organisation. So firstly, we have two guests joining us today in the form of David Barry, who brings a wealth of experience from the media industry, having been a producer, director and exec producer at both the BBC and Channel 4. And now he is the founder of Wild Blue Cohort. And David is joined by his investment director at Wild Blue, Dipali Nangia, who has enjoyed a career spanning the heights of Wall Street to the financial hub that is London to founding a business in India. Now, the second element that is slightly unusual today is the organisation itself that David founded, Wild Blue Cohort. It's an angel investment network with a specific hyperlocation focus on West London, investing in businesses close to home. And as always, you can find more information about the show today and the notes from previous shows on the website at syndicateroom.com, or you can tweet us at syndicateroom. But now time for the show today, and I'm delighted to welcome Dipali and David from Wild Blue Cohort. Now, I'd love to start off today by talking about how you made your move into the world of investing and early stage investing.
Well, my background, I'm David. So my entry point to this is urban renewal. And basically, I had a kind of an awareness that there seemed to be an untapped potential of entrepreneurial talent, and also there was a supply of capital at the most local level in places in which we live. And then in parallel also, it's very hard for entrepreneurs in the center of world cities like London to raise capital, but also kind of there's a huge cost barrier to entry. So I put the two together really and thought that what we needed to do was to find ways and means by which entrepreneurs in search of capital could access capital from people who live around the corner and could also access talent and support from very talented, successful people from business who kind of live in the area in which they operate. So that was my thought of putting the talent, which is locked behind doors in our streets, and the finance with amazing kind of world-class entrepreneurs who need finance and want names, addresses and phone numbers of investors.
And Dipali, I'd love to hear how you made the move too.
Yeah, I, as you know, was on Wall Street for many years, and I did investing on the PE side for 6 years, after which I did, operational type roles because I really wanted to round off my experience. Finally, when I left the city, I started something on my own as a consultancy to help female entrepreneurs scale their businesses. I started working on some projects, and then somebody at the council introduced me to David, who had received a grant from the Kensington and Chelsea Council to really found this angel investment network. And they said to me, this is exactly up your street. Why don't you meet David? And that's how we started working together on it. But to be honest, I have done investing in the past for many years. Bigger deals, but I've looked at lots of early stage deals as well.
And I really want to touch on the relationship dynamic because it comes from two very different origins, Wall Street and then David being Channel 4 and BBC producer, director. So how does the relationship dynamic work together, bringing different skill sets? And David, do you think this is testament to the fact that creatives can enter the financial world with kind of skill and rigor?
Well, I have made documentary films for like 25 years, and I still from time to time do. It's an addiction which you can't get rid of. I did start life as a financial journalist. And I guess that the connection is this, really, is that I guess my experiences of making television programs is an interest in building audiences, making relationships, creating stories, enabling people to kind of be, quite often in the films which I've made, of kind of allowing or finding ways and means by which central characters, say, for instance, in observational documentaries, can be who they want to be. So there's a kind of connection kind of that way. So, I mean, I do think there is an opportunity. I think it speaks legions, really, to the investment business. And also, I have to say, there are other professional businesses where this happens as well, where creative types and people who can make things happen can move into specialist areas. I don't know, in terms of our relationship, I think it's brother and sister. Dipali tells me sometimes it's father and daughter. Then fantasizing it's Simon Cowell and Alicia Dixon, inevitably.
I think it is, we work well together because we bring different things to the table. you know, David handles more of the strategic relationships and I handle the day-to-day, you know, investment business. So we definitely bring two sets of skills to the table and I think we work very well together.
And talk to me about the investment business now. I'm really intrigued to hear about kind of your investment thesis and strategy, your approach to deal flow and deal sourcing, because with the sense of hyper-locality and location-centric, how does that affect your thesis?
Obviously, we work a lot with the local universities. You know, we work with Imperial. We've done an event with them. I do some mentoring with them. So we do get to see deals from Imperial, which, you know, adds to the local angle. We've cultivated relationships with BBC Labs, for instance, Accelerator Academy, you know, more West London innovation and warehouse, West London type incubators and accelerators. So that adds a local angle. But to be honest, a lot of the companies in the city also have a local angle to them, as in the entrepreneur might be living in West London. So while we have a local strategy, it is quite broad. It's entrepreneur in entrepreneurs living in the area or working in the area, have office in the have clients in the area. So it's quite broad, the local bit of it. In terms of deal flow, obviously, I'd like to say we see proprietary deal flow, which is really what everybody would like to say. But to be honest, I do see a lot of things. And when things go around, I've already seen them before.
There's no cricket test here whereby that if, you know, there's the sort of almost the sort of you cross your fingers kind of in the style of Dracula or Frankenstein if you are not living or working in West London. Horror attached to not being West London. So we have a kind of, you know, we've got a very, you know, we do look at lots of metrics, you know, as everyone does. You know, we're looking for kind of fabulous entrepreneurs with kind of world-beating ideas at a particular stage of their growth, which our members of our network are looking for and excited by. And we're looking for, you know, as ever, a fantastic, inspirational kind of story. But we are also looking, you know, for, you know, at a metric, which is that if this company doesn't, you know, the entrepreneur might live in the area, they might have studied in the area, they might be selling into kind of West London or our part of town, or they may actually just have a product or service which is good for our part of town. So, you know, we're just looking for something whereby if our members are looking for something whereby if they put money in now, is that in a few years' time, if the company does what it's going to do and says it's going to do and is a great success, there might be some kickback into the local economy. But I mean, you know, we do deal with lots of companies from, you know, all over the world, but we're just looking for that little local link somewhere which can make us feel like and make our members feel like they're contributing to the kind of future kind of prosperity and quality of life and kind of diversity of our part of town.
But it doesn't need the scalability of a normal venture funded business of being, you know, $1 billion unicorn.
I don't think there are many $1 billion unicorns coming out of the UK, to be very honest. You know, we are looking for businesses. Of course, we are looking for scalable businesses. But, you know, at the angel side, they might not be $1 billion unicorns. They could be sold for $300-400 million. And angels are okay with that. But that's what angel investing is about. You know, our last investment was HomeTouch, which is a care marketplace. And when we invested, it was probably the first online care marketplace in the UK. And we invested because, you know, care is a growing market, huge market opportunity over the next few years. The management team was excellent, very scalable technology. So we are looking for those big businesses, but not necessarily, I don't think there are many $1 billion unicorns in the UK.
I think it's a very important point, really, which is that places like West London attract global talent, attract entrepreneurs who are really kind of world beating and kind of want to change the world. We're growing a community of investors who are a source of capital for that growth. Mm-hmm. And as I say, if it can provide some kickback and value add to the local area, you know, in the future, that's great. But the local area, you know, it's not just, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to be too parochial here. We're talking about West London. So we're talking, and that kind of reaches, you know, Heathrow out into kind of, you know, down the M4. It works kind of, you know, wherever you feel the East London and all that sort of stuff sort of starts. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly like, you know, it's very much a kind of, you know, a big vision thing.
And I'm intrigued to ask, obviously, Topali, you mentioned the lack of unicorns in the UK and the UK tech environment. What do you think that is? And what do you think can be improved then to kind of foster this culture of innovation that the US seems to have?
I mean, first of all, the US is a much bigger market, yeah? So they will have the unicorns because the market opportunity is significantly larger. So I'm not really sure you can change that unless you have UK businesses serving global markets, you know, which will happen. I also think the risk appetite in the UK is very different from risk appetites and valuations in the US, which is what, you know, the EIS and the SCIS is really helping towards that, because people are taking more risk because of the tax benefits that are offered. But traditionally, that has not been the case. In America, you'll see every entrepreneur who has made it really helping out other entrepreneurs who, you know, who are struggling to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the ecosystem you need to build here.
And do you think we have that cyclical investment cycle at all? So in West London, you know, you've got successful businessmen. Are we starting to generate that cyclical angel investment that the US has?
We want to have successful entrepreneurs in West London, because there are many of them who want to support entrepreneurs who are making it. So we do get entrepreneurs, we put investors on boards, you know, because the mentoring angle is also quite big. It's not just about the money. So that's what we ultimately want to get to. But of course, it's going to take time.
And this is the thing, Harry, which we like about what we're doing, well, we love what we're doing, which is the kind of local element, is rather than cast the local as a kind of, you know, parochial thing, the thing which entrepreneurs seem to like, and we certainly get a massive kick out of, is that we've got members who've got names, addresses, phone numbers, kind of who live around the corner, who've got a particular skill set. And for entrepreneurs, as you know, at particular stages of their cycle or their growth, it's really great to have someone who they can know, can call upon, can drop by, and who just is a known personality. I think that the local angle of what we're doing is as much to do with that, is growing a kind of community of investors who have got full of faces, full of individuality and full of personality and full of skills. And some of them may well be MDs of major corporations already, or have grown their own companies, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the critical bit to hold on to. And I guess me, you know, my background's not investment, but my background is about building communities, successful communities of people, and building new for-profit and non-profits out the back of it. And that's the critical thing, is for me, is that quite a lot of this, you know, talk of unicorns and investment industry and all of that is quite faceless. And I think what we're bringing is a bit more individuality and personality to it, which certainly, if, you know, if we are being, I hate this word disruptive, but if certainly my instinct of kind of how we're being different and kind of enjoying ourselves and why our members are getting such a kick out of what we're doing is that we're full of individuals.
So then,
and also the investment industry and culture is all very much like, oh, it's 5 o'clock, where am I? I'm in Kuala Lumpur. In 1 hour's time, I'll be somewhere else in another time zone. And here I am in another sort of faceless departure lounge. kind of, it's all very anonymous and all very kind of intangible. And I think that that's what we want to bring to this space, is a kind of tangibility, and our lens at the moment is a kind of localness.
And you said about kind of, you want angels obviously with good skills. So what makes a great angel for you when you view prospective angels coming into your network? What skills and capabilities do you look for in potential members?
I wouldn't say that, you know, we have grown quite organically, so we have never really done any PR at all. So people who come to our meetings, who joined as members, are those who've been referred by friends. So I still remember our first event ever 2 years ago, where we had 3 investors and 6 businesses. So there were, you know, there were about 18 people on the management side.
More glasses. Yeah. In our first event, there were more glasses on the table than there were members.
So, you know, and there weren't 3 members. There were 3 people that we invited because we were launching the network, and there were 3 potential, investor members. And ever since then, we've grown organically. And the people we have on board are people who don't just bring the money, but they really try to bring the time. Of course, we have the odd member who doesn't have the time. But an ideal investor is somebody who brings in mentoring, a lot of patience, you know, and the money.
We want members. We're keen to have members. And it's one of those things, as Deepali says, it's organic. So the personality of the membership changes as it grows. But I mean, what I like and looking for within angels is, to be honest, is some humility. intelligence, humility, creativity, imagination, prepared to kind of, you know, engage with stuff which is different and dangerous and difficult, but also humility, who's prepared to listen to other people in the room, prepared to enter into syndicates, prepared to help. You know, we've got in our network, we've got some high rollers and some people who are new to angel investing. So, you know, we're always keen for people who are seasoned angel investors, but who are very, very keen for kind of novices to come around the coattails and to sort of share with them in a syndicate environment. And I think it's really important is to try and find members who are leaders and members who are kind of, you know, want to work with other people.
I'd love to hear then the fundamental differences that you see between the novices and the high rollers. How do they approach things differently? Is it merely a matter of confidence? Is it something else that they bring? What are the differences that you've seen?
I think that the high rollers probably are very quick at decision making because, you know, they're used to investing. They've seen a lot more businesses. So they come in pretty quickly on a deal. And they obviously write bigger check sizes quite quickly. The others probably spend a little more time. I think a little more time on due diligence, the documentation. You know, I'm not saying that the high rollers don't do that, but I think they take a slightly different approach. They probably have a more gut feel approach, which as time goes on with investing, you naturally do. And the others spend a little more time. So I think it's a mix.
I think it's complementary as well, because we do attract quite a few members who have been to business school or been through the sort of, you know, business school kind of wars and are very, very, very diligent and kind of really good at looking at the kind of minor footnotes. So I think what you're trying, you know, there is a compatibility there, which is actually worth exploring and exploiting, which is, you know, the as you'd call them, the higher rollers are prepared to kind of actually kind of throw their hat in the ring quite robustly, but then they can call upon the kind of, you know, the small, the newer people who maybe are still, you know, quite forensic in their approach and quite cautious and risk averse, is that they can be quite complementary. And it's quite, one of the things for us, I think, as angel investor managers, is that it's quite fun to put those teams together and to kind of help make them work. So there is that kind of, there's a degree of forensics, let's say. You know, but it's a bit, you know, I won't push the detective or policing metaphor too far, but it's a bit like, you know, there is the, you know, there are the kind of seasoned sort of, you know, the seasoned detectives who will go to the crime scene and say, well, this is how it all is, you know, this is how it all works. And there will be the kind of more, you know, the younger, more diligent, more forensic types who are kind of, you know, feeling their way around the crime scene and trying to work out what's going on. So I think, you know, and that's that there's a parallel there, rather over imaginative one between the kind of high rolling angels and the novices.
And I'd love to dive into a quick fire round with you now. So I say a short statement and you hit me with your immediate thoughts. How does that sound? So let's do like 30 seconds each, okay? So your favorite book and why?
I read so much nonsense with my children every night. Life of Pi.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant book and good film. David, what about you?
Andrew Roberts' Historians, Napoleon the Great.
And then Dipali, biggest takeaway from Wall Street for you and how you've applied it to your time now?
What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And I say that to everybody, all the entrepreneurs. I mean, I spent, you know, as you know, on Wall Street 24/7 for 2 years. And I learned an awful lot, but many a time I wanted to quit, but I didn't. And I'm so glad that I didn't.
And then what does success look like to you with Wild Blue?
You know, a good group of members working together, making good investments. Obviously, I want lots of successes, you know, successful deals for our investors. But really building an ecosystem in West London that nobody's done before, that we are the first people to do it.
And David?
Making our members happy, seeing entrepreneurs come to us after they've exhausted friends and family, and then winning greater prosperity and greater investment from follow-on investors. Having a fund, I would love to have a fund, a Wild Blue fund, either of our own or which is nested with another organization. And then I'd love to see around the world, in the center of world cities, residents and entrepreneurs coming together and helping each other prosper. Mm-hmm.
And then crowdfunding, complement or competition to traditional investing?
Complement.
Complement.
And then favorite blog or newsletter, what's your must reads?
Anand Sanwal, do you know CB Insight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Love him.
I had him on the show.
He's really?
Yeah.
I love him. What he's built is fantastic. I mean, I really look forward to reading his stuff every single day, even on holiday.
And David, what about you?
I never know whether it's Primark or not, but Dan Primark?
Yeah, term sheet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a must read every day.
Yeah, he is brilliant. Absolutely. And then
there's also the Sun Online, which is unmissable first thing.
That's why I love podcasts. Just you can edit out that sort of thing
when we have to.
And then what's the biggest challenge in growing the membership investment group?
I think one of the challenges is to find people who are really engaged and interested in entrepreneurship and helping entrepreneurs to grow. Because there's quite a lot of people, some people who pay lip service to it, and some people who've got quite a lot of money, but quite a lot of people don't actually have the sensitivities and the sensibilities to make it work.
Yeah. So
the greatest challenge is really on meeting people or being introduced to people to sort of work out that, yeah, you'd fit really nicely into our group and you'd really work well with the entrepreneurs who we're bringing to you.
But because people bring friends, you tend to find that, you know, the group is quite similar.
And then I do want to touch on...
Sorry, it's not very quick fire, forgive me.
But I want to dive on to then, finally, your most recent investment and why you said yes.
So I think the last deal we did was Home Touch. We took, I think, 125 or 150. I think we took most of the round. And it was, an aging demographic. A great market opportunity. The technology was good. The entrepreneur was a local. He had, from Chelsea Westminster. He's a doctor from Chelsea Westminster and had a local angle to it. And good team, good technology. We put somebody on the board. One of our technology entrepreneur in residence is on the board, who's added a lot of value to the business since then. 3 months after we invested, Passion Capital came in. And now we're looking at a follow-on. Can't mention it yet, but somebody really big. So we're really excited about it.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, David and Dipali, for sharing the Wild Blue journey with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much. Nice to speak to you.
And a huge hand to David and Dipali for giving up their time today to be on the show. It was so great to hear more about their amazing journey with Blue World. And do not forget to check out our Investor Academy on syndicateroom.com or follow us on Twitter at syndicateroom. And I'd like to remind you all that early stage investing is risky. Therefore, please ensure that you engage in the proper due diligence prior to making the investment. Thank you so much, as always, for your continued support. And we look very forward to bringing you next week's show.